after the most exciting finish in Arizona Cardinals history, things aren't slowing down yet. Kyler Murray.
He's going to keep it off the left side. He's at the 10, half the 5.
Versus Russell Wilson.
As time steps up now and takes off.
It's going to be a huge challenge, huge division game.
And first place in the NFC West is on the line.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
In prime time. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks Thursday night football. Now
we got Zoe. Former Cardinals linebacker Lorenzo Alexander is on the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. We got a lot of draft to talk about as well. Jay Williams, ESPN college basketball insider, and James Jones, general manager of the Suns, both coming on today at 8:15 and 9 o'clock. So we've got a lot to do here, but there's something that happened yesterday that I think he's right, but it's still so shocking. Zoe, I don't know if you heard it. I want to play it for you. I know Wolf knows about it, but Wolf, I don't know if you've even heard it. Ryan Clark, who was one of my favorite players and is now probably my favorite analyst on television. I just love listening to what Ryan Clark has to say. He was on Get Up. And imagine how ridiculous it would have been to say this on draft night. But think about it now.
I know that because we've seen Russell do so much, we've seen Russell grow, and that's been a part of our story. We love him. But if I'm looking at Kyler Murray right now, his trajectory is way higher than Russell Wilson. He probably wins an MVP before Russ does.
Okay. Like I said,
I just see the silence right there, right?
When you hear that, because your initial reaction is, yeah, come on. No, we won't. And then you stop and you go, well.
Ryan, can I talk to you, please?
Then you just kind of go, well, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute here. So I ask you this very impossible question to answer. Who's going to win an MVP first, if at all, Russell Wilson or Kyler Murray?
Wow. You know what? I think a lot of it depends on what happens the rest of the season, obviously, including tonight. I mean, I think whoever wins this division and goes in as the NFC West champion has the higher chance of winning it this year. I mean, just the way these guys have been playing, obviously Kyler's having an MVP caliber season. We kind of broke those stats down, compared them to, you know, Lamar Jackson's season and what he's been able to do and help his team. Russ was hot. Now he's kind of cooled off for the last couple of games. Can he return to that and finish the season off strong the way he was? And I think whoever kind of is maintains that or gets back to where he was is going to end up winning it. And a lot has to do with how your team finishes too.
Absolutely.
Because
shouldn't, but it does.
It does, right. And so, because they both, I think, are just as valuable to their teams. If you take both these guys away from their teams, they're both very average, if not below average, even though they have talent on their team, right? And so it has to then come down to, okay, then what team wins? And that's why a lot of these rewards are team, because people tend to look at winners and say, okay, that's the reason why they win. He's the best player on one of the good teams, then he's probably the MVP. So I think that's what's going to be the telltale sign of whether or not RC is right or not, as in Ryan Clark.
You know, in the first game, it was so, in a gross simplification of the truth, I boiled it down to saying basically the quarterback that plays better is going to win this game. That's the way I felt going into that first game on Sunday night. Not so much in this game right here, even though the same set of circumstances seemingly apply. To me, though, I think it might be the defense that plays better than the other team's defense might actually determine the outcome of this game.
Yeah,
your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I was actually the other way. I thought whichever defense was playing better in the first game was going to win the game, because their defenses at that time were probably closer in comparison. Right now, I think the Cardinals' defense has definitely separated themselves from the Seattle Seahawks' defense, and so tonight, I don't even know if I would compare it to that. I want to see if Russell Wilson is going to kind of come out of this funk. It's kind of what I'm going to be looking at, and that's more of a team thing, because they had 6 sacks last week, and so he's being pressured, and they're getting their run game back. They're getting some guys back healthy too, so that's going to be interesting to watch as far as how they win. And so I think it's going to be more about that than how the defense is play.
Because this is Zoe, this is exactly where I'm going right here. Just the fact that I think the Seahawks are going to come out. They're going to run the ball. They're going to run the right. ball because they're doing it a little bit better in their offense. They're going to run the ball because the Arizona Cardinals' defensive line is an unmitigated disaster right now. With Corey Peters out,
right.
with Jordan Phillips out, it takes pressure off of Russ. He needs to be in a more balanced offense, running the ball. This is one of the reasons why I think the defense that steps up and plays better here tonight. The secondary for the Seahawks is an unmitigated disaster. What a mess it is back there. They've got all sorts of man games missed. The same thing could be said for the Arizona Cardinals defensive line.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's true. I mean, for me, though, I think there is easier to find or plug in defensive linemen because you are in a tight space, and sometimes I can just out-physical you and out-work you and make plays and stay in my gap and do my job and let guys fill their gaps. On the back end, you out there by yourself, island, you get done up. I mean, it's really not too many. It's too much space for you to get help. And so I think you can hide or cover up a deficiency up front because of the it's in a phone booth versus the space. So I would give actually the nod once again to Arizona Cardinals defense and knowing some of the guys that's going to probably be playing tonight because I've seen them more mm-hmm. is that they're going to be able to step up and fill those voids of some of those guys, even though you'd rather have obviously Corey Peters and Jordan Phillips out there. Those guys are easier to replace because it's a phone booth physicality game versus an athletic game, which normally when you get to Seattle's been historically bad on the back end, and so you're just going to look worse. You can't recover when you get beat on the back end as much as you can up front.
With Phillips, Peters, and possibly Campbell out, I do have to ask the question, so where are you right now? Are you in Seattle or are you at home?
I'm at home.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if anybody made a call this week.
I wouldn't be talking to you guys if I was getting ready for a game.
I just wanted to make sure.
It would be a great cover, though.
There's
no doubt about it.
Nah, I'm not. I'm done, man. It's no way I'm getting out there and throwing guys around like I used to.
You say that, but I remember, I think it was 4 years ago on this show, we lost the long snapper. And we found out that Mike Leach was out, snapping balls in his yard just to see if he could come back.
Yeah, that's five snaps a game, and you don't even get hit like you used to. If it was the old school rules where you could line a 600 pounds over Mike, I bet Mike would have been sitting right on his couch chilling.
And I don't remember what it was, but it was about 8 or 9 years ago we started comeback Kurt when there were quarterback injuries,
I remember that.
We got Kurt to admit he went outside and threw a little bit. We didn't get him to admit. I don't know if you're wrestling with the kids trying to get ready or anything like that. Just wanted to know. More with Lorenzo Alexander coming up. The defensive injuries, and Zoe's not going to be playing because of them, but will Isaiah Simmons be playing more? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Doug and Wolf to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL.
You just tuned in. Already went heavy Suns coverage earlier this morning on the draft pick of Jalen Smith, and we'll be doing it again at 7:45. Jay Williams, draft insider of ESPN, at 8:15, and the man that made the pick, 9 o'clock, James Jones, the Suns general manager. Right now we're talking with Lorenzo Alexander, former Cardinals linebacker, former Bills linebacker, about this huge game tonight, 6:20, right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. And Zoe, it was interesting. I was just in the commercial listening to, of all people, Kurt Warner. Breakdown the Isaiah Simmons interception and some of the mistakes he thought he saw Russell Wilson make during that play and some of the decisions he thought Vance Joseph made that he really liked. And that was the one play where I think a lot of fans started going, okay, Isaiah Simmons, what are you thinking about Isaiah Simmons?
I think the game is starting to slow down for him a little bit. Obviously, the more reps, the more time he's out there, things are coming together for him slowly. I mean, even in the game when I attended this past week, as soon as I saw him in there, my eyes kind of locked in on him just to kind of see how he was going to move and float around. And it seems to me that he's starting to understand the pace of play and where he needs to be, and I think getting confidence in that. And so if you kind of rewind a little bit, at first, you know, people say, well, he wasn't playing fast, he wasn't doing his job. He was playing too fast. It was almost like a panic because he didn't quite know where he needed to be, and he was reacting late, and so he was over-pursuing things. Now he seems like he has a calmness to his game and his eyes as far as he knows where he needs to be, and then he triggers as a reaction of knowing what he's supposed to do and not out of panic, like, uh-oh. And then doing too much too late and then giving up plays. So he's getting a good feel for it. You can see him using them in blitz packages a couple of times, covering guys, you know, running down with the middle of the field with Stephon Diggs. So he's very athletic and figuring out where he needs to be. And so I like his progression. And because of that, I think he's going to see more and more time, especially when, you know, Devondre Campbell has been dealing with his calf on the short week. I know he practiced yesterday. You know, do you want that thing to linger? It is a short week, Thursday later in the year. It's hard to overcome those things. A guy like Isaiah Simmons, who it looks like they're starting to trust more and more, go and put him out there and let him play. I don't think he's going to be a liability. I think he's actually going to be an asset because of his athleticism and his growth.
Paul Calvisi is live in Seattle. And Paul, I know that it's not like a normal year where you're spending a lot of time in the locker room and being able to exclusively watch practice and everything with the coronavirus protocols. But have you seen anything different from Isaiah Simmons, the person, since the first Seattle game?
You know, it's funny you bring that up because Vance Joseph brought that up this week on his own. At the end of his Zoom press conference, he said that you can see Isaiah Simmons coming out of his shell, just his personality, that he's more at ease with his teammates. He's joking around. He's smiling more. You know, I think we can translate that to mean he feels like he belongs. And Vance went on to say that he's more sure of himself now. And you can see it on film. He's playing faster. He's not nearly as uncertain. And the Cardinals D coordinator said a few things about Isaiah Simmons we've yet to hear. Like when he said 2 weeks in a row he's playing like an NFL linebacker. And he's becoming what we thought he'd be when we drafted him in the top 10. Vance Joseph has stopped well short of making any of those sort of proclamations on Isaiah Simmons until this week. So obviously he's seen. Now, could he be trying to bolster the confidence of the young man, who's probably going to see the most snaps by far of any game so far this season? Sure. But Vance Joseph doesn't just hand out those compliments, especially to rookies, easily.
Here's what Vance said specifically to what Paul's talking about.
The confidence has come out. You know, you watch him play now. I mean, he knows what to do. He's sure. Now you see the speed. You see the length, right? You see why Steve Keim drafted this guy in the top 10. You know, before that, you saw a guy who was uncertain and wasn't sure that he knew what to do, so he couldn't play fast. You know, even with his teammates now, he's more open, he's more funny. I mean, he's just involved with his teammates more because he's having a chance to be a part of the team. It's tough for a first-round pick to be drafted so high to come to a team and not be able to play, you know, and to watch other first-round picks do play and have success. So it's been hard for him, but now he's definitely back. He's coming out of his shell a little bit, and he's helping us win. So that's what he wants, and that's what we want for him, obviously.
You know, to me, he's going to really arrive when the opposing quarterback breaks the huddle, comes up to the line of scrimmage and goes, okay, where's that Isaiah Simmons freak? Where is this guy lined up? Because you saw what he did against Russell Wilson in overtime. And guess what? Russell Wilson in that second half in overtime, dare we say it, was confused. He wasn't exactly sure what he was looking at with some of those exotic blitz packages and some of that blitz and bail stuff Vance Joseph was using. Do you think he's going to use that again tonight? Absolutely. And with that in mind, I'm guessing Russell Wilson will be like, okay, where's that 6'4 guy that runs the 4'4? You know what? I need to be aware of him.
You know what's amazing about this, guys? We're talking about Isaiah Simmons, and rightfully so, and the fact that he made the huge play when Vance Joseph was rolling the dice, whether he was playing zero or not to zero or blitz bail, whatever it may be. We all know Isaiah Simmons made that incredible pick sealing the game and the victory for the Arizona Cardinals. I think tonight it's going to be really interesting because if, in fact, you tell me, Pauly, that you don't have Shaquille Griffin, if you don't have Quentin Dunbar, you don't have your two top corners.
They're out.
Paul, exactly. They're out. You're telling me that is the case right there. I'm saying, why do the Arizona Cardinals don't line up in 10 personnel, four wide receivers, and say, have at it? I mean, honestly, I wonder, can you put pressure on their secondary just by doing that? You don't even have to go 10. You can go 11 personnel, three wide receiver package right there. It's a huge carrot for the Cardinals to actually throw the ball more. But I wonder, is that exactly what the Seattle Seahawks would like to see them do?
What do you think?
There's no reason tonight has to be close. I mean, Zoe, tonight does not have to be close. Considering Seattle's defense, Cardinals could jack stomp them.
Exactly. And to Wolf's point, the Cardinals can do whatever they want to do to that secondary, and it doesn't really matter who's out there of what they've shown and put on tape. So, and that's why, you know, teams haven't really ran the ball against them. I think they're high in the run game. Teams don't run the ball because I'm going to chuck the ball down the field. I'm going to take advantage of your weakness. So it really doesn't matter what Cliff decides to do, 10, 11, 21. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is out there. All right, we find him. Boom, boom, boom. It doesn't really matter because they haven't put anything on film to even show you that they can stop you. Now, can they have a game and bring something out of, yeah, every squirrel finds a nut from time to time. But I don't see them stopping this offense at all. And because of that, it's going to put pressure on Russ, you know, conversely, to have to keep up with it. But I'm not quite sure they're going to be able to do it because of the ascension of this defense and how much better they've gotten. And to that point of blitzing, Russ, not caution, but he's seen it. And I've seen the same blitz packages and some of the schemes even this past week. And so you don't necessarily want to show a quarterback of that elk the same look over and over and over and over again because guys can adjust, guys can make plays, especially with that talent and that he has on the outside as well. And you even saw it in Buffalo when they did have some of those zero blitzes, being able to check to a screen once, big play from John Brown.
Yep.
Another time, Pat P made a great play, was able to trip him up. But if he wouldn't have made that play, which he did, it's another play. So it's going to be a bit of a cat and mouse because people are starting to pick up on some of those tendencies. And when you start setting tendencies, you set yourself up for giving up a big play. So you have to maybe self-scout yourself. Or let me maybe change it up. Let me give them a different look, but get to the same type of style of blitz.
It's funny hearing you guys talk about it because I'm not saying these players are bad, but even with Dunbar and Griffin and Thorpe, this was a bad defense.
Right, right.
And now you could argue their 1, 2, and 3 corner are all out from a bad defense. So when you're already there, but I admit I still want to see, Cliff, I still want to see, if you get a lead in the fourth quarter, can we please mix in some runs? Can we please eat a little bit of clock? There's a reason why this year has more 10-point comebacks than any other year in the history of the NFL. I think there are a lot of pass-happy coaches and coordinators that are not taking advantage of the lead they've already earned in the first three quarters.
So let's see. They're missing their top three corners, and in the game a few weeks ago, they didn't touch Kyler Murray. They had zero sacks. They had zero quarterback hits. So if they can't get to the quarterback and they don't have a secondary, and the stat is that they had allowed nearly 2,900 passing yards through 8 games, that's the most in NFL history for any team through 9 games. They were actually a game ahead of the NFL historic worst. Pauly, that's how bad their pass defense has been.
Throw it like crazy for three quarters, but please, can we eat a little clock when we have the lead? That's all I'm asking.
I know you're up there, Pauly, with your parka and your Caesar's haircut, okay? I know you're up there doing that, Paul, but have you heard the weather report? It's supposed to rain the entire game, right?
That's the problem. I don't know if the Cardinals did the wet ball drill in the limited practice they had this week, but if you got that mist or even worse, there's always a fine mist, always, whenever the Cardinals are up here. Look, I can tell you, 15 years on the sideline of dealing with it, I feel bad for the TV people who are going to be down there, not yours truly tonight, because I'll be up in a booth, but look, for the first time I'll be Passion Wolf, and I'll actually be out of the elements. But yeah, that could absolutely hinder the passing game. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be in the 40s. There's going to be rain and moisture, so we'll see how adept the Cardinals can throw it in those conditions.
We got more from Paul coming up later in the show, live from Seattle. We got one more beautiful part of the program with Lorenzo Alexander, former Cardinals linebacker, with game prep. When the media is screaming, this is the biggest game in the universe. Well, How do you feel about it as you get ready? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
After the most exciting finish in Arizona Cardinals history, things aren't slowing down yet. Kyler Murray.
He's going to keep it off the left side. He's at the 10, half the 5.
Versus Russell Wilson.
As time steps up now and takes off.
It's going to be a huge challenge, huge division game.
And first place in the NFC West is on the line.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
In prime time. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf talk Cardinals Seahawks Thursday night football. Now,
how different is the professional football player active and talking to the media and the professional football player who's not active talking to the media? The cliches finally go away. Good morning, it's Doug and Wolf. Wolf and I are in the Octane Community Studios. Lorenzo Alexander, former Cardinals linebacker, is joining us for the lowdown, which we do every Thursday for an hour, and he's on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. So if I have a microphone and I'm interviewing you in the locker room, you're going to tell me every game's a big game. You're going to tell me we've just got to stay focused and do what we do. We've got to, and you're going to say all these cheesy lines. Now that you are not playing, at least in week 11 so far, you're not playing. I ask you this question. Do you feel that this is a big game when you are getting ready for only 3 days after the Buffalo game and first place is on the line?
Yeah, it's a significantly big game. It means a lot as far as where you want to be and where you're trying to go right now. And so, yeah, they may give you all those lines that you just mentioned, which is true, which matters because you can't look past. But the implications of this game really put you in a secure spot as far as driving this division, especially when you look at the teams that you have to play moving forward and the teams that Seattle Seahawks have to play. And we haven't really even talked about the Rams, but as far as Seattle, I mean, they still have three NFC East teams that they have to play, including the Jets. So, I mean, even if we just want to say those are four wins for them, so this means something significant to you because you still have to go play on the road in New England, which I know New England's not New England, but it's still New England. And then you still have a couple of division games that you have to play. So this is significant in the pivotal point as far as you wanting to win this division and put yourself in the driving seat. And who knows, possibly still secure a number one seed depending on what happens in some of these other games around the league.
Now, Zoe, it's only one game, as we all know, right? But put on your analyst hat right here and tell me who you think has more to lose in this game.
More to lose means I don't know who has more to lose. I mean, it's still early. So, I mean, to lose, I mean,
See, I would say the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah,
here's the Arizona Cardinals, though. They're coming in on, you know, they're the traveling team on a Thursday night game, right? They've already beat the Seattle Seahawks once. Russell Wilson is getting some criticism up there, and Kyler Murray, who was getting criticized earlier in the year, suddenly is the toast of the town and the nation for a lot of people.
Well, I guess to that point, you would say this: the Cardinals would have more to lose based on where they're at right now, because you think the Cardinals are the better team or more significant, and I would have flipped that for the first game, if that's how you're identifying it.
See, I for me personally, I can tell you right now, all those variables coming in, I think the Seattle Seahawks have more to lose. Now all of a sudden they were the team in the NFC West. They were the best team in the NFC a few weeks ago. That's what everybody was saying right now, and they're playing at home.
Yeah, and I think you're taking it more from a historical standpoint, right? So who they have been, who they are, you know, historically, and Russell Wilson, and he was MVP, best season ever for a quarterback the way he started. You're thinking of it like that. I'm taking it more from a week to week and where you are at right now. And the better team, if you look at them and who's playing better, who has a better chance of doing something dominant in the playoffs, I would say – it's the Arizona Cardinals, where Kyler Murray is, the national attention you just got from all this game. And now you go up to Seattle in a short week and a team that is already bad on defense. And now they don't have their top three corners. And you go out there and find a way not to score more points than them based on that, I think you have more to lose. And yeah, I know you're traveling and stuff, but you're supposed to go up there and beat them. You're dealing with the same thing.
I think that's the catch. I would totally agree with you, Zoe, if I thought the Cardinals had arrived. You know, if the Cardinals were going for their third straight division championship or something like that. But when it's that weight of you won five games last year. When it's the weight of, remember a couple years ago you had this guy named Steve Wilkes? You know, I mean, when it's remember how quickly it ended in the Bruce Arians era and all of a sudden you're a 500 team. I now this is such a gigantic step. You have a chance to somewhat kill the Seahawks. Now, the way that the whole conference is working out, they're probably going to the playoffs anyway. But the fact that you actually have this moment in time to sweep Russell Wilson for the first time since he was drafted, I do think the historical context trumps the game by game, because how many guys in that locker room fits? I guess Hopkins because of his Texans years. Corey Peters has been through everything. There's just not a lot of guys in that locker room that know what it's like to be a part of a dominant franchise.
Yeah, maybe. But I guess to my point is then you use all that, but none of those players have experienced any of those things that you're talking about because they weren't in the NFC East playing in Seattle for all those years. So that's why it's all about right now and right here. And even if it's you do have fits and the people that have been there, football is year to year. We like to bunch it up, and yes, some teams do some things so they can experience success year to year. But it's year to year. And then once you're in that season, it's really week to week. As we just already mentioned, Seattle 4 weeks ago was the best team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Now nobody would ever say that.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're not the best team in the NFL, how can they have the most to lose? I mean, I guess you can say they're just going to continue to spiral. I think it's you're trying to prove to the league that you have arrived because of what you've done, beating Buffalo, beating some of these other teams, and putting yourself in a place to where you could potentially get the number one seed. You want to continue to prove yourself. People are saying, okay, are they pretenders or contenders? You heard Keyshawn Johnson, right? Yeah, I think they're pretenders still. So you have more. You go up there and lose to a team that you should beat and lose, then it's up. This is the Arizona Cardinals. So you have to go up there and dominate. So that's why I say right now is probably the Arizona Cardinals. And we're just looking at it differently, different perspectives,
sure.
Different lenses.
Yeah.
And so that's why we're coming to different answers. Based on what you're talking about, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with the Bills and New England, right? New England has dominated that division in the league for the last 20 years. And so beating them means something, even though they're not the same team by no means. 6-7 players opted out, no Tom Brady, but you still – feel like you have to go out there and beat them. So similar but different.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, and so that's why I'm just looking at it from a year-to-year versus a culmination of things, because football is built year-to-year, even though as fans we feel like it's a collective historic thing that we want to bring into this game.
Love having you on Thursdays, though. Thanks,
love you,
buddy.
Zoe.
Have a great day.
Love you guys.
All right. Okay, brother.
There's Lorenzo Alexander joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Nissan, there's one place, Coulter Nissan. Go to coulternissan.com, west of the hassle. If you are really doing a great job trained into our Arizona Sports virtual tailgate presented by Four Peaks, I know you're jacked up saying, hey, do I have a chance to win a grill? We're not doing it today and tomorrow, very simply because the Arizona Sports virtual tailgate is tonight. So we're going to restart it on Monday. So keep this habit. Keep listening. Text GATE to 620-620 so you still have a chance to win Monday morning. Coming up next, the Suns, once again, were the surprise of the draft. And why? Because very simply...
What are you guys going to do about it?
James Jones doesn't care what you think. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Good morning, Masonians. Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show, Savages in the Morning Broadcasting. Broadcasting for 14 seasons, so you don't have to.
That's right. The 15th anniversary. It's coming up January 2nd of the Doug and Wolf Show.
How about that? January 2nd.
I shouldn't say it's coming up because we could get fired in the next hour.
Of course.
So, you know, it might not come up. But
take it like a man.
That's when it would be happening if we don't get canned. There's no doubt.
What are you guys going to do about it?
That is the philosophy of James Jones. He could absolutely care less what anybody thinks about value. When you look at the draft board, there was nobody in the next five picks that was going to be drafting Jalen Smith, and he didn't care. And there would have been a lot of people that said, I'll trade up and get Tyrese Halliburton. I don't care. He's drafting his guy. And it's funny, I just heard from Minch, the assistant producer of the Doug and Wolf Show, that said, is it similar to anything that happened last year?
Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson?
Yes.
Context, please, Gambo.
The Suns are going to take Cam Johnson.
Okay. So Atlanta right now is on the clock.
Was that not delivered like a spelling bee?
Yeah. C-A-M. Right.
That was pretty good, Vin. That was good right there. That's exactly what it was. Use it in a sentence, please.
And that's what happened again with Jalen Smith. The USA Today writer for the NBA gave out grades for everybody. One F.
Suns.
And James Jones says, I don't really care.
Well, we thought he was the best fit for he checked a lot of boxes for us. You know, we want to be athletic. We want to be long. You know, adding length to the perimeter with DeAndre, Mikal, you know, Cam Johnson. You know, we figured when we looked at Jalen, his versatility to play the four and the five, just to be a versatile forward that could stretch the floor, that can run in transition, be the first big down the floor, could switch and pick and roll, and more importantly, could attack the offensive glass.
You know, it's just amazing. You and I, Douglas, are going to disagree on this forever, right? We're just going to do it. But to me, based on scouting is about identifying who is going to be good and who is not going to be good. Okay, Ron Wolfley reporting. If you love a kid that you have rated high, but you think you can get him later, you try to trade down. I mean, that's what you do. You try to trade down. If you can't find a trade partner because your competitors don't want to move up, don't want to help you do better than they're doing maybe, you draft the player you have rated high. You have him rated high. If he's on your board and you have him rated high and you think, you know what, I think the rest of the people out there are misreading this guy, then we're going to try to trade down because we think he's still going to be there. But if you don't have a trade partner and he's rated high on your board, why in the world would you pass that up? You wouldn't.
I think this year, I admit, is a little bit of an anomaly. And I do think people would have traded up for Halliburton, but I kind of understand this year. This year, it's a problem. Nobody really loves anybody in the draft. Now, once Halliburton started to fall, that's when people started to go, okay, what is going on here? And I do think there was a market for it. And you can look at Sacramento has to be thrilled beyond belief. And everybody that's drafting below them or below the Suns needed a wing or a point guard. So it does make you feel like, man, you could have traded down and still got picked up something. Now, I don't think it's going to be as huge as an early first-round pick, but I think you could have got something. What this pick clearly shows, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you can feed it into the selling of the G League team, this franchise could care less about developing anybody. And when I say developing, I don't mean they don't want you to become a better player. But their philosophy is clearly, if you can't help us win game one, why should I take you?
Because, so in other words, they're in win now mode. Is that what you're saying?
Kind of, but I don't even think it's a win now as much as we've got a championship team, let's go win. I mean, I think James Jones is a former player that has seen prospects supposedly developing by sitting on the end of the bench and not developing. I don't think he believes in developing someone. I think his philosophy is, as good as I think Halliburton's going to be,
yeah,
I totally believe we'll stand on the table and tell anybody that wants to listen, 5 years from now, you're going to be saying as a fan, man, I like Jalen Smith. And let me be clear here. I like this kid.
Right.
I actually love the kid.
Right.
I don't like the pick.
Yeah.
But I totally believe you as a fan 5 years from now, just like you're doing with DK Metcalf, you're going to be tweeting us all day long. I can't believe we passed up Halliburton. And you're not saying it now. I think you're going to say it then. And I totally believe that. But it would have been Halliburton for 2 years behind Chris Paul. It would have been Halliburton learning and then in 2023 being great. And I think James Jones feels like, I'll just go get a point guard in 2023 if I need it. Why should I have one now?
He's a veteran guy.
When I got Chris Paul.
Veterans for the most part. And listen, I would disagree with you because of Cam Johnson. You have Cam Johnson rated high. Let's say you did that on your board last year, right? You had him rated high. He's sitting there at number 11, and you can't find somebody to trade back. You can't. Nobody wants your pick. You pick the player. You pick him. If he's rated high,
I think that actually proves me right.
He's on your board. You pick him. You don't pass that up. This is what scouting's all about. Scouting had him rated high. Other teams may not have had him rated high, but you had him rated high. Hey, if you can't find somebody to trade, somebody to dance with, what are you going to do? Well, we're not going to believe our scouts. We're not going to do that. Even though everyone else out there says that there are five players better, we're going to pick the guy that we have rated highest on our board if we can't find somebody to trade back with.
The Cam Johnson pick actually proves me right on the development situation.
They're
looking at guys that, because Cam Johnson's a more experienced college basketball player.
Sure.
They're not,
you're talking about the 18-19.
Yeah, they're not drafting the freshman one and done 18-year-old player. They're looking, and even though Halliburton doesn't fit that bill, they're looking at it and saying, with our team, who fits better game one of this year? That actually is Jalen Smith more than Halliburton. I think 5 years from now, like you just said, five guys. I think Vassell, Halliburton, Bay, Maxey, I shouldn't say I think. I guarantee that those four will be better. Now, I think Precious
will.
We're
all just going to have to wait and see.
I think Precious will. But Precious is as raw as you get, the kid out of Memphis. I think 5 years from now, he's going to be better than Jalen Smith. But that's a project. I don't think they're interested in projects anymore under James Jones.
Interesting.
This is what James Jones thinks about what Smith does right now.
We thought he gave us an edge in our front court. And as we've seen over the past year, we can't have enough front court depth. We saw that when DeAndre was out last year. We were effective with Aaron Baines and Frank Kaminsky stepping up in a big way. But we felt in order to keep pace in the West, we needed to be stronger with our front court. And so Jalen's a defensive guy with offensive skills, a big with ball skills that can pass and shoot. He's a great addition to our team.
It's just amazing, Douglas, because when you read these scouting reports, and ladies and gentlemen, once again, this is what I do. I sit there and read scouting reports. I haven't watched games. I haven't seen Jalen Smith play. I haven't. And especially this year, it's just so weird because there was no tournament, right? Mm-hmm. We feel like we get to know some of these kids by watching the tournament. And that did not happen, as we well know, right? And suddenly now you're watching this, and I don't know about Jalen Smith, but I do know this. I know a lot about Cam Johnson. I know that people, when Cam Johnson came out, they said he wasn't a good athlete. Wasn't an elite athlete, which means basically the guy's not as athletic as some of the guys he's going to be playing against. Guess what? Cam Johnson, I think that one of the biggest surprises of him is how much better of an athlete than I read that he was. That's important to me. Also, his toughness as well. This was never anything that anyone pointed to and said, boy, Cam Johnson, that's a tough kid. And yet that's all we saw from this kid. He is tough. And I love that. And it's one of the reasons why he developed, I think, the way that he did last year. James Jones, I said this earlier, I'll say it again. Let's hope that James Jones misses on Jalen Smith the way he missed on Cam Johnson.
I can tell you from watching most of Maryland's games that you will never question Jalen Smith's toughness.
I see, and what was I saying before the draft, too? I want somebody who's going to come in here and be tough. Sticks, that's his nickname. I love that, right? I want somebody who's going to come in here and be tough and know how to compete. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they're bringing a guy like that in to jab others in the ribs.
And it could be, because they won a lot of games when Aaron Baines was starting, and they think Jalen Smith can do a lot of that when he steps in. Coming up next, the Suns are building their foundation. The Cardinals have a huge rematch. Did we finally get to live the limelight as an Arizona sports fan this week? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Day.